Welcome to the Coach John Katara Show.
Love the show. I just wanted to say you're an idol for a lot of us.
You can be on at midnight. I've listened to you.
May you continue on 1090 for a long time.
Keep up the good work.
Now, here's the coach, John Katara.
You're the absolute king of this station, Coach, and everybody knows
on San Diego's sports leader, the mighty 1090.
As soon as you are able.
Well, good afternoon, and welcome to San Diego Sports Leader, the Mighty 1090. Coach John Katara with you from now until 6 o'clock. Hope everyone finishing up the work week on a positive note. And for some of you, maybe got out of work at around noontime, 1 o'clock. Hope you're already enjoying your weekend. Should be a great weekend to watch a lot of college basketball as these tournaments start to wind down on Sunday afternoon. We got Selection Sunday, and then everybody's going to get their brackets together and get ready for all the great action that starts early next week. But again, it's going to be a great weekend here in America's finest city, and as well as all of Southern California. So take advantage of that. Boy, we got the great summer weather right now. You know, I got to start off the show kind of recapping last night. As you remember yesterday, we talked a lot about the stadium site, which is going to be Mission Valley, but I mentioned I was broadcasting from the San Diego Hall of Champions because last night we culminated the last 6 months of Lolita Student Athletes of the Week with a Lolita Student Athletes of the Week banquet at the Hall of Champions last night. And, you know, I got done, I guess I got home right around 9 o'clock last night. And I got to tell you, you know, one thing about talking sports day in and day out, you know, about the pros and the guys signing the big money deals and the guys that are getting traded and the guys that are doing some things off the field that unfortunately we have to talk about far too often. Last night we had a group of male and female athletes from all over San Diego. Not only are they great role models for the kids they're going to school with and for their community, outstanding students, outstanding athletes. Just last night was a real inspiring night for yours truly, and I told the group last night that I knew a lot of them were probably, you know, pretty much looking forward to meeting me because their dads for years have probably listened to me on the radio. But I also mentioned to them last night that I was really excited about meeting them because these are the athletes that are going to go on and do great things and represent our city. And whether it was a volleyball player, a field hockey player, a basketball player, a wrestler, it didn't matter. We had a great group of male and female athletes there last night, and I can't thank Lolita's enough. One of the things last night we did, and it was really a tough decision because we have so many outstanding student athletes there. And I'm talking about kids that are going to go on and do some dynamite things, both academically and athletically at the next level. And some of them, who knows, they may be in the pros down the road. But the thing that was really cool last night, Lolita's really stepped up to the plate last night in a couple of different ways. Number one, they've sponsored this for the last 3 years, and I can't thank them enough for, you know, jumping on the bandwagon here at the Mighty 1090 to promote high school sports, and they've really done an outstanding job and been one of the real leaders in that area. But last night we presented a couple of scholarships. We gave a $1,500 scholarship award to the quarterback wrestler out of La Costa Canyon, Duke Mackel, and a great tennis player for 4 years at Torrey Pines, Kelsey Chen. They both received $1,500 scholarships from Lolita's. And the other thing that Lolita's did, aside from having some really cool certificates to hand out to the athletes, they also gave each and every one of the kids there last night a $25 gift card to Lolita. So a job well done. I don't know if I've ever been more proud of our promotion department than last night. I mean, they did an outstanding job of getting everything ready to go last night, and the banquet went fantastic. I did want to thank another sponsor of last night's banquet, San Diego Linens. They did a great job providing all the tablecloths for the event last night, and you can check them out at sandiegolinens.com. We've got a great program for you today. Coming up at 3:30, we're going to go over to Thomas and Mack Center. David Velasquez, the assistant basketball coach, San Diego State, going to join us after the Aztecs win last night, 67-64, over the Running Rebels. And, man, I'll tell you, that game last night, And unfortunately, I didn't get to watch it live because I was at the banquet. But I did get home and read all the scribes' writings of the game, watched all the highlights. And once again last night, the Aztecs trailed at halftime. They've beaten UNLV now three times on the year. And in all three games, the Aztecs trailed at halftime. Last night, 29-23. Aztecs shot very well from behind the arc last night. They were 7-14 thanks to Akil Quinn, who went 5-6 on three-pointers last night. Akil Quinn, the senior, played great. He ended up with 21 points last night. He was 8-10 shooting, pulled down 5 rebounds. J.J. O'Brien, a typical night for him. He had 15 points, knocked down 6-6 on free throw attempts. He's not normally a great free throw shooter. Had the 4 rebounds. And Winston Shepherd, a huge put back basket late in the ball game. He finished with 12, but not a real good shooting night for Winston. He was only of 2 of 9. Dwayne Polee last night, a lot of people have been very concerned about how much is he going to be able to play. Well, Dwayne played 19 minutes last night. He had 3 points, 1 of 4 shooting last night. Malik Pope, 11 minutes off the bench, 2 points. Matt Shrigley started last night, 0 points, only took one shot in 20 minutes of play last night. And I thought a guy that really gave them a big lift coming off the bench last night was Angelo Choll. He had 7 points in the ball game and 2 rebounds. And he's a guy that when he's in there, a lot of things can happen, but he's got to stay out of foul trouble. Skylar Spencer last night, 3 points, only a couple of rebounds, but you have a couple of more block shots. But that was a good win because UNLV was playing really good basketball. They were really motivated to beat the Aztecs after losing to them on March 4, 60-58. And now tonight they take on the Colorado State Rams. And the Rams last night defeated Fresno State 71-59. This is a very, very good basketball team. The Rams come in tonight 27-5. They're 13-5 during conference play. And the two teams split the season series back on January 24th. The Rams beat the Aztecs 79-73 at Moby Arena. That night, CSU hit everything. They were 12-21 on three-point attempts. Big J.J. Avila, who's banged up right now, but we do expect him to play tonight. He poured in 29 points. And then on Valentine's Day, February 14th at Viejas Arena, the Aztecs returned the favor by running by Colorado State 72-63. So it's going to be a great game tonight. And of course, you'll hear the pregame show with Craig Elston at 8 o'clock, tip off right around 8:30, because there's another game prior to at 6 o'clock, and that'll be a good matchup. You got Wyoming, who edged Utah State yesterday 67-65, taking on 25th ranked Boise State. Broncos got by Air Force yesterday 80-68. So we'll visit with David Velasquez coming up at 3:30. At 4 o'clock, he'll join me in studio, a longtime writer, a colleague of mine now here at the Mighty 1090, Jay Paris. We'll talk about the proposed stadium site of Mission Valley. We'll talk a little NFL free agency. There were more movement today on the free agent market. We'll talk with Jay at 4 o'clock. At 4:30, Elliot Harrison, NFL Network analyst and also NFLnow.com. He will stop by. And then at 5 o'clock, Scott Miller, national baseball writer for Bleacher Report, will be in. And speaking of baseball, and we'll get to baseball here right now. Padres playing the Angels. They were out to a 5-1 lead. We'll get you the final when that becomes available. But last night at the Peoria Sports Complex, what a ball game. 1-0. Dodgers win it. Jock Peterson homered in the ninth inning off of Jose Valverde, and the Dodgers squeaked by the Padres 1-0. Boy, for a spring training game, really odd last night. Each team only mustered a total of 2 hits. James Shields was absolutely unhittable. 3 perfect innings last night, 5 strikeouts, a first pitch strike to all 9 hitters he faced, and no ball was hit out of the infield off of James Shields. Will Ferrell did play last night for the Padres, played right field, also pitched for the Dodgers, threw 1 pitch, Rico Noel. A little bunt back to the mound. Will Ferrell hopped on it and threw him out at first base. Now, here's something that was really cool last night. And a lot of people, I don't know if they paid attention to this. They probably saw, oh, Will Ferrell's playing, yeah, whatever. Okay, but one thing that was very noteworthy, at least for yours truly, because of my association with Tony Gwynn for all the years that I covered Tony and became friends with Tony. Will Ferrell yesterday played for 10 different ball clubs. In 9 of those ball clubs, the uniform number he wore was number 19. For the Padres last night, out of respect to our great Tony Gwynn, Will Ferrell wore number 20. So I thought that was really, really cool. So we'll talk about that a little bit later on with Scott Miller, get his thoughts on Will Ferrell and see if he is a prospect or a suspect. And tonight at Camelback Ranch at 7:05, Cincinnati will be in there to take on the L.A. Dodgers. I want to get to some NFL news because, boy, I'll tell you, it's been hard to keep up this week. There have been so many signings all week long, and there's more today. Ben Roethlisberger getting a nice 5-year contract extension today with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He was going into the final year of his contract, and that was worth $11.6 million. I've not gotten the figures on the new contract, but we'll pass those along as they come down. But the Dallas Cowboys, after taking a big hit yesterday, losing DeMarco Murray to the Philadelphia Eagles, today they signed former Raiders running back Darren McFadden to a 2-year deal, $5.85 million it could go up to with incentives. McFadden received a $200,000 signing bonus. So they get a running back, and you got to wonder, Darren McFadden running behind that great offensive line of Dallas, he could put up big numbers, but can he stay healthy? Can he stay healthy? I still think Darren McFadden is a very, very talented football player. He was in a bad situation and wasn't really ever able to get his career on track. So we'll see about this signing with the Dallas Cowboys. Now, the Buffalo Bills today signed the much-traveled wide receiver Percy Harvin to a 1-year contract. Percy Harvin, you recall, started out with the Vikings. Then he ends up in Seattle. Then he ends up with the Jets last year after Pete Carroll ran him out of that locker room. He gets released by the Jets. Now he signs a 1-year deal with the Buffalo Bills. Couple of other signings coming down this afternoon. Denver Broncos signed Baltimore Ravens free agent safety Darian Stewart to a 2-year deal. And the New Orleans Saints make a really talented player, Buffalo free agent running back C.J. Spiller, a 4-year deal, $18 million, a $5 million signing bonus, and $9 million guaranteed. You know, yesterday we were talking about the Chargers, and I was talking about what I think they need to do on that offensive line. I think they've got, you know, the right side of that line, whether it's Franklin at right guard or Fluker at right guard. The other guy plays right tackle. I think you've got a left guard in Chris Watt, even though they're saying right now he could be their starting center. I think he might be a bigger factor at left guard. You re-sign King Dunlap. You have to get a big anchor in the middle of that offensive line. And I'm not sure Chris Watt is that at center. Now, he may be an all-pro center down the road, but what I witnessed last year, I think he needs to play left guard. I think you need to either bring in a veteran or maybe draft someone, you know, fairly early in the draft to put him at center. And then I think you got a pretty good offensive line. I really like the signing a great deal of Orlando Franklin. I think it's going to make everyone better on that offensive side of the ball. I like the signing of Jacoby Jones. I think he's going to probably help him more on special teams, the return man. He'll still help him a little bit as a receiver, but I think he can really be a big factor because, as I've talked about at length, about the Charger special teams, the return game has been, for the most part, non-existent. It really has been non-existent since Darren Sproles left. And now you got a guy that has had great history of being a great dynamite kickoff return man as well as a punt return man. I like that signing. You know, we'll see where the Chargers go. They have to beef up that defensive line. That defensive line flat out has to get a little bit better. And then, you know, what else are you going to do? I mean, Marcus Gilchrist last night signed with the New York Jets. Boy, the Jets have been busy this week. They signed Darrell Revis. They signed our old buddy Antonio Cromartie. And then they signed Marcus Gilchrist last night. So they've definitely changed their secondary look there with the New York Jets. But, you know, the Chargers, I don't know what to say. I mean, I guess I'm a little disappointed this week that they haven't done more. But again, Tom Telesco, I've got a lot of confidence in Telesco that he's going to get the job done here in San Diego. And I think when you look at Telesco, you have to kind of go back in time a little bit and look at a guy that, you know, really was his mentor, Bill Polian. Bill Polian very rarely, if ever, went out on the free agent market and spent huge money. He always went out and got guys that were going to be grinders and guys that were going to play their tail off, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. I think we were looking for a sexier move coming out of the Chargers this week. And now with Ryan Matthews gone, that's going to be interesting, by the way, in Philadelphia. You got DeMarco Murray, you got Ryan Matthews, you got Darren Sproles. Two of the three guys used to play here for San Diego. And Darren Sproles, even though he's getting a little bit long in the tooth, he's still a dynamic football player and a guy that can catch that ball out of the backfield, a great third down back. But that's an interesting move. But what are the Chargers going to do? I mean, are you going to win anything right now with Brandon Oliver, Donald Brown, who I do like, even though he had an awful season last year? I still think that was a good sign. Going forward, he'll be utilized the way he should be utilized. Last year, he had to play way too much. He had the concussion early in the year. And then you got Danny Woodhead coming back from an injury. So the Chargers are going to have to figure out what they're going to do. Now, next week, I'll be back. Early in the week, the first four nights, I'll be on 6 to 9. Next Friday, I'll be sitting in for Darren 12 to 3. But next week, I'm going to get some of my draft nicks on, and we're going to talk about running backs and just see how deep in this draft the Chargers could wait to go after a running back who could come in here and actually help the ball club a little bit. So that's kind of my thoughts on the Chargers and what they've done so far this week. And I think a lot of you fans right now are probably a little bit disappointed in what the Chargers haven't been able to get done this week. There's some pretty good players that went off the board. You know, the one guy that killed me yesterday when I was on the air was Terrence Knighton, the big defensive tackle who played for Denver. He signed a one-year, $4 million deal with the Washington Redskins. Maybe the Chargers didn't want to pay $4 million for a defensive nose tackle. I think I would have, because I think that's been one of the missing links with a Charger defense for 7 or 8 years. You can give me your thoughts on that one. Our phone numbers this afternoon, 858-457-1090. Our toll-free number, 877-792-1090. If you'd like to follow me on Twitter, at Coach Kentera. Kentera spelled K-E-N-T-E-R-A. And our website, themighty1090.com. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we're going to go over to Las Vegas, Nevada. Assistant basketball coach, San Diego State, David Velasquez, coming up next after a Linda Welby update on San Diego Sports Leader. Thanks for tuning in to the Mighty 1090.
This is the home of the Padres.
High fly ball driven deep for Q. Ball going, ball is long gone. This club, I know it's spring training, but man, better to see guys bombing than not bombing.
San Diego Sports Leader, the Mighty 1090.
I want everyone to listen up on this one. Valley View Casino and Hotel wants to send you on the Ultimate Golf Championship Getaway. All you have to do is select the weekly Go for the Green code and then be at Valley View Casino and Hotel on March 17th to win. This week's code word is bunker. Bunker is this week's code word. You can go for the green inside Team 1090 at the Mighty 1090. .com. Looking at the Padres score right now over in spring training. I'm probably the only guy around that really watches box scores and team scores during spring training. But I think it's interesting to see what guys are doing, trying to find out who some of the young guys are that are aspiring major league players, how they're faring in training camp. Padres right now in the top half of the eighth inning over at Diablo Stadium in Tempe, leading the Angels 7-3. We'll get you more information on that when that ball game goes final. But right now we're going to head over to Las Vegas, getting ready for semifinal game tonight with Colorado State. That is assistant basketball coach of San Diego State. My friend David Velasquez joins us on the Corky's Hotline. David, welcome. How are you?
We're excited and ready to go. We've come down from last night's team win, and we're excited to get going and had a great little shoot around today just to stretch our leg out of the hotel. Watched a lot of film, and we feel like we have a game plan that we're ready to throw that ball up and get after it.
Hey, what's the story with you guys in UNLV? You guys are always trailing at halftime.
You know, it's one of those things where UNLV has done a great job coming out of the gate. You know, it's just not us. Their last 16 games that they've played, they've led at the half, which is actually an incredible stat for anybody. And it's just one of those things that they play really well in the first half, but we continue to use our bench and our depth, and that when that second half comes, we find a way to make plays, and especially make plays at the end of the game to win.
You know, David, I think it's been really interesting all year long because Coach Fisher, let's face it, I mean, you've been with him a long time, and I've been watching him for 16 years. And, of course, the first year he didn't really have a whole lot on that roster where he couldn't go real deep. But normally he likes to play about 7, maybe 8 guys. You guys are playing 10 and 11 guys. How much has that helped you throughout the course of the year, being able to play that number of guys and guys still being very effective in their role?
It's helped us quite a bit, and it's helped us on both ends of the floor. I think it's more than just playing bodies. I think it's having a bench that's so talented that you don't know on which night who's going to step up and be the one to make plays. And you also have the ability to where guys just don't have it that night. You don't always have to play them the same amount of minutes they get when they're playing well. What it really does for us is it allows us to press, play 40 minutes of hard-nosed, tough defense. We can kind of raise our bar defensively the more we use our bench, knowing that if we make a mistake on the defensive end, we can hold them accountable, get them out of the game real quick, get somebody else in, and then have the rotation just continue to roll through as the game goes on. Other teams, I really feel our depth in about the second half, and last night was the perfect example. About 6 minutes to go, they've only played 7 guys all night. We played 10, and you could just see we looked fresh. They looked exhausted, and we made a 50-50 play. J.J. O'Brien threw it to Ekeel Quinn. He makes the 3, and 3 of their guys just put their head down like, oh, man, I'm exhausted. So it's been fun to use 10 guys all year.
We're visiting with David Velasquez, assistant basketball coach, San Diego State. Nice enough to join us this afternoon on the Corky's Hotline. What was maybe the one key change you guys made going into that second half after being down at halftime?
Probably win the 50-50 balls. We talked a lot about that. And also just make the shot. You know, we missed 7 layups in the first half. 7 layups. We were literally right in front of the rim. And Okonovo for UNLV is an excellent shot blocker, but he got more into our guys' head than he usually does. And we were worried too much about getting our shot blocked instead of going up and finishing the shot. And I think in the second half, we took a deep breath. We got into the paint. We made some easy shots. And that really got us going offensively.
Hey, what kind of crowd was there last night? It was hard to tell, and I didn't look at the attendance. What kind of crowd did you guys have?
You know, Coach, I don't look around. You can kind of just feel it from the bench, but it was a loud, loud crowd for a Thursday game that I can remember. You know, Thursday games don't have the same kind of punch that tonight will with Friday and these Saturday games that we're accustomed to playing in. Last night was a great crowd. You know, San Diego State, we travel very well. We all know how good we are at home, but when it gets to this part of the year, I think you look up and we have one of the best traveling teams in the league, if not the best traveling fans in the league.
Hey, I wanted to ask you about the court. They've got all the Mountain West Conference logos all over the court. Now, is that the same court UNLV uses, or is that a totally different court?
It's a totally different court. They used it in Denver Women's Final Four, I believe, a couple years ago. We've had that court now. I believe this is year 3 that we've used that court here.
How's the footing on that court?
Oh, it's good. I mean, it's a high level floor. It's like anything else. They brought in a new floor for a variety of reasons, but the main one was if you look around all these conference tournaments, they don't use temporary logos. They don't use them in preseason tournaments anymore. They don't use them in postseason tournaments because guys are slipping on them and getting hurt. So you have to bring in a whole new floor, and if you want your logos on it, it's got to be painted in instead of it being a sticker. And then they try to do whatever they can and not make it feel like it's a UNLV home game, but we all know in reality we beat UNLV in a home game last night.
Okay, you guys get the win last night. The game ends up, you know, a little bit after 8 o'clock, and the most important thing after that final horn sounds is rest and recovery. Could you kind of take us through after the game what the guys did and how your day has gone so far?
We stayed for the first half of the Colorado State Fresno State game. The guys got to the bus. They had some food waiting for them. Came back. Guys went right to their rooms. They got some rest. As a staff, we met at 9 o'clock this morning. The players came down at 12. Got a little something to eat. We watched some film. We did a walkthrough over at a Cox Pavilion where they play the NBA Summer League and where UNLV women's basketball team plays. We came back. Guys got another little snack, and then we have our pregame meal here at 4:30. Watch a little film and head over to the game about 7 o'clock.
Let's talk about Colorado State. This is a really, really talented and a very, very dangerous basketball team that you're playing tonight. They're coached extremely well by Coach Larry Eustace. They're 27-5. They got you at Moby Arena. You guys came back and got them on your home court. But this is a very dangerous team. They can explode at any time.
That is the one thing about this team that they do more than any other team in our league. And when they get hot, they get really hot. They can shoot the three from up to about 30 feet. And when it's not just one or two guys, when they have four out of the five guys on the floor that can knock down the three-point shot, they can get hot, and they can get hot in quick hurry. And I think the number one thing they do, though, that we're going to have to be ready for besides guarding the three-point shot is they are as tough and as physical and as mentally strong as any team we play all year. Now, they start four fifth-year seniors, and they just play exactly how their coach, Larry Eustace, wants them to play. They're tough. They share the ball. Defensively, they make no mistakes. They run hard on both ends, offensively and defensively. They're a fun team to watch, a veteran group who's going to come out and try to hit us in the mouth tonight, and we're going to have to respond.
Well, hopefully they're not too fun to watch tonight. If hey,
if they start making a lot of threes, they're going to be fun for a lot of fans, everybody but the Aztecs, man.
Hey, let me ask you about Avila. I mean, he really tore you guys up in the first meeting. He had 29 points. You guys did a pretty good job of corralling him in game two. I know he's been banged up. Do you expect him to play tonight?
We are going into the game, prepping for the game as if he will play. When a guy makes 22 baskets in two games versus you, versus our defense, a defense that's regarded as one of the best in the country, it really opens your eyes to how talented and as tough of a matchup as we'll see all year. So we're going to prepare like he is playing, and if he's not, we'll make a couple simple adjustments. But we are going to prepare like he's going to play.
Who's scouting the Wyoming-Boise State game tonight?
At this point, Coach, and this is our seventh straight semifinal game, we worry about the team we're playing, because we know tonight, if we win, that we're going to have one film session to get ready for Saturday's game. And so as a coaching staff, let's worry about Colorado State. And when we get back tonight after the game, if we win and we have the chance to compete again tomorrow, we'll all focus in on who that might be, whether Wyoming or Boise State.
I like that thought process, Mr. Velasquez.
I appreciate it, Coach. You know, it's one of those things. I've been around Coach Fisher for a long time, and if he says that's what the plan is, we follow it to a T.
Hey, I don't want you to give up any trade secrets, but what did he say at halftime last night?
You know, Coach is the best. Coach is the best at knowing when the guys need to put an arm around them, knowing when the guys need to be punched in the gut, and knowing when it's not a team thing, it's a personal thing, and when to pull the guy aside away from the guys. And I think last night is exactly what I said. You know, we can't lose our confidence because we missed a couple shots. We cannot continue to stop moving the ball because we're getting the shots we want, we're just not making them. We got to get on the floor and make some 50-50 balls, get some easy baskets, and that will get us going. You know, and he was more positive, I would say, than negative at halftime, which, you know, I think a lot of coaches would just come in there yelling and screaming and what's going on, make your darn shot. And Coach comes in, and it's kind of like this deep kind of sigh of relief, like, okay, everybody take a deep breath. Let's get our confidence back, and let's go out in the second half and play the way we know we can play.
Sounds great. Hey, hopefully he doesn't have to talk about that at halftime. Hopefully you guys are leading and can close it out and move on to the championship gold medal game tomorrow night.
We are hopefully looking forward to the chance to compete for our 10th Mountain West Conference Championship.
Hey, I want to see you cutting down that net tomorrow night. You'll probably be one of the last guys they let use those scissors, but I've seen you in action before, so be careful.
Thanks, Coach. I appreciate it.
All right, David. Take care. Good luck tonight.
All right, go Aztecs.
There you go. David Velasquez, good young assistant basketball coach out there at San Diego State. It's going to be a good one tonight. In fact, I think both those games tonight, Wyoming, most people figure Wyoming's not going to get in. They've got their back to the wall. They got a great coach in Larry Shiat, Leon Rice, the coach of the year in the Mountain West Conference for Boise State. They're ranked 25th in the country right now. There's going to be some good basketball tonight. And, of course, you're going to hear the Aztec game with a pregame show at 8 o'clock with Craig Elston, and the tip-off tonight, if you're out and about, will be at 8:30. A couple of good hoop games tonight at the Mountain West Conference Tournament over at the Orleans Arena in Las Vegas. We'll step aside. We'll come back. We'll try to get to a phone call or two. San Diego, 858-457-1090. Our toll-free number, 877-792-1090. Thanks for joining me this afternoon right here on San Diego Sports Leader, the Mighty 1090.
The Mighty 1090 Hotline is presented by Corky's.
Call 1-800-901-1102. Corky's!
Thanks again to David Velasquez, assistant basketball coach, San Diego State, joining us on the Corky's Hotline. Now, we're going to try to duck in a few phone calls. Coming up top of the hour, one of the great guys that are ever going to cover sports in this town, Jay Paris, who we're very fortunate to have here at the Mighty 1090. He's going to join us at the top of the hour. We're going to talk about yesterday's announcement about the proposed stadium at Mission Valley. Jay, for many years, covered the San Diego Chargers. He's seen the good, the bad, the ugly of the Chargers and the organization, and he can tell you a little bit more about the stadium. The other thing that I would encourage you to do is go onto our website. Really cool. Last Friday, I filled in for Scott, and I work with BR, and Scott last Friday went to Qualcomm Stadium and walked around there with Jim Steig, who, you know, is on the CSAG group. And they looked at Qualcomm Stadium. It's really interesting. And we've had it up here for, I don't know, a few days. And there's been over 3,000 views of this. So if you're wondering whether or not, how many, I think there's 5,000 now. Yeah, or 5 or 6,000. I mean, it's been hit, about 3,000 times in the last 2 days. So we're up to about 6,000 scenes on that. And it's really incredible. And I got my own little personal stories to talk about Qualcomm Stadium. But Jim and Scotty walked around the stadium. They had video footage. It's really interesting. And if you really wonder whether or not you need a new stadium here in our city, check that out, and you're going to get the answer pretty good. Okay, let's try to duck in a call here before the top of the hour. Again, Jay Paris is going to join us at 4 o'clock. Let's start off in Rancho Bernardo today. Al, you're batting leadoff with Coach John Quintero on the Mighty 1090. Welcome. How are you?
Coach, my friend, long time, short time.
Yeah, great to have you on, Big Al.
Hey, thanks for the line over here. The reason that I called is basically I'm a little concerned, a little disappointed in the way right now that the Chargers are going. After their big initial signage with Franklin and King Dunlap and the rest of the guys over there, and kind of getting left on the wayside, I'm kind of feeling, just like you and a lot of other fans and callers over there. And I'm thinking this is Telesco and McCoy's, their halfway point at this point with their five-year contracts at this time, man.
Yeah, but you know what, Al? You know what? Mm-hmm. You can't wait 5 years. I mean, the Chargers didn't make the run the last 3 years with Norv Turner. They found a way to get in that first year with McCoy. I mean, to their credit, and I said this yesterday, they won football games, and teams above them lost, and they were able to get in. But again, at the end of the day, they were a third-place team in their division, and this year they were a third-place team in their division.
Yeah, I hear you over there. I mean, everyone always says just make it to the playoffs. Well, they did 1 year. They didn't another year. And basically, you know, with the stadium issue over here, it's not making them look very good as far as succeeding and getting deep into the playoffs. I mean, it makes a lot of people scratch their heads and wonder exactly what direction are we going at this point, or if we're going to be going the way of like A.J. Smith and Norv Turner and then give them another chance after that. Then, I mean, we seriously got to make some serious progress over here. And
I agree with that. I totally 100% agree. I feel very confident in Telesco. I think Mike McCoy, I think he's a good football coach. I think he's still learning on the job. I think in-game management, time management, those are things that he needs to get a little bit better with. And he's been around football a long time. I'm sure he will. He's still, a green head coach in a lot of ways. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here like a lot of people in the media and bag on McCoy because he doesn't give you the great comment at a press conference. I think he's a good football coach, but I think he's still learning to be a head coach. Al, thank you very much for that phone call. With that, we're going to get to the top of the hour. Linda Welby going to get you an update when we come back to kick off hour number two on this Friday. Great guy, Jay Paris, going to join us next right here on San Diego Sports Leader, the Mighty 1090.